I want to talk, I've called it very, very, very simple, it's simply about reasons to pray. Why do we pray? How does it work? This will probably be our last sermon on this, because I've been following it for a few weeks. And by the way, I think that our prayer week together was phenomenal. Amen. It was rich, people were involved, and both on last Sunday and the film, great film. And then on Wednesday night, the scores of people that came forward for prayer and people we prayed for over. And then last night, just kind of kicking it off, a prayer rally. And it was just good. It was really, really, I think, effective and purposeful. And I think we will advance. I think there will be a sense that we're moving on and higher and deeper in the things of the Lord. And that's a good thing to have. A church should always be defined, somebody said, by the depth of the prayer in the church itself. It's not how many come in and go out, but the depth of hearts and lives. And I think that is true, and I think we deepened because of that. Well, let's move on from that. I wrote this little statement here, and I'll read it to you. There are the most compelling reasons why everyone ought to pray. Why prayer ought to be the most regular and the most continual thing in your life and in my life. It should be the most natural thing that I, how are we closer? Let us pray. And this is how it should be for every one of us. Let us pray. Shouldn't be odd. I get a sense about it, though, as a pastor observing the scene, is that when we say, well, we need to pray about this, and somebody, has it come to that? I didn't realize you pray about it. Is it serious? I said, no, prayer is not the last thing you do. It's the first thing. That's how that works. I appreciated Vicky's telling about what happened in her own life. That's how it'll always be. When you seek the Lord and you touch Him, it comes back in your life. You can hardly believe it. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. That was great. And may all of us, may this be called a house of prayer. That will do wonders for us, I'm sure. So I wrote down five reasons, five of the best reasons why I need to pray and why you need to pray. Reason number one, because God insistently commands it in the Bible. We didn't make up this idea. It was already designed by God. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect. Now here it is. This is Jesus speaking. To the effect that they ought always to pray. Always to pray. And here's the second part that's really important. And not lose heart. Not to faint. I think the King James says, not to faint. We men ought always to pray. Now, this is coming from the words of the Lord. Always pray. What are you doing? We're praying. We're going to pray. We know we're going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. Always to pray and not to lose heart. I think we can lose heart. I think we have to, as Jesus encouraged, we encourage one another as well. I'm thinking of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, where the words of the Apostle Paul, pray without ceasing. It's not just this time we had, but even last night as we finished off our prayer time, it's kind of like, well, we did that, okay. And then when the next one comes, we'll have to do that. No, it's all the time. It's not just once every quarter or once every fall or anything or every new year. It's all the time. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, okay? Why? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, to supplicate, that's a great word. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. That's what we do. Praying, bringing our requests. A Christian is to pray literally about everything all the time. It's just ongoing in our lives. It becomes like breathing. It becomes like eating. We just do it. We don't think about it. We just pray. And so you're driving in your car and you're, oh, Lord, I'm sure it's going to be a busy day today. I'm dreading this and that. And Lord, but your strength is sufficient. And you're praying. Well, you're not kneeling down on the ground, but you're praying. And it pretty soon it becomes perpetual, that you're always praying. You're everything you do. You're getting money out of the money mart and little machine there, and you're praying. And you have to take your car in, and you have to meet somebody for coffee. And so all of these things, you don't even pause about it. You just ask the Lord that it would be a great time and a great moment for your prayer, for your life. I think in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, first of all then, this is the words of Paul, I urge that supplications, and that's what we were doing last night, we were supplicating. Prayers, another dimension to it, and yet the same. Intercessions, oh yes, so important. And thanksgiving, be made known for all people. Intercessions and thanksgivings be made known for all people. Keep praying for those in authority. Keep praying for the leadership. Keep praying for things that are on our hearts and on our minds. Praying at all times. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, pray at all times. In the Spirit. That's a little different, to pray in the Spirit. It's a little bit different than supplicating. In the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And all these admonitions to pray and to keep on praying. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, the words of Jesus. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's our mandate. That you may not enter into temptation. You don't want to be caught aside and sucked into something, or the enemy take advantage of you, or you fall into deception. And he says, so you pray that you won't fall into temptation, or you won't get sidetracked in some way. I made this notation, not to pray is a sin. Not to pray is a sin. Lack of prayer is a sin. And I have had on many, many, many occasions, I've had to speak to my inner man and rebuke myself because I was prayerless and careless. That I thought, yeah, I need to get to some prayer about that, but I didn't. Sloppy. And not just as a leader, but as a person. Is that you have, this is why we exhort each other, because it's very easy to get off track and put prayer, well, I'll pray about that. And you know what we do all the time? Oh, well, I'll have to pray about that. Are you really going to pray about that? Or is that what we say? Is that what we say as Christians now? We just say, well, we didn't pray about it. Nobody ever prays about it. I always like it. Somebody, why don't we pray right now? Yeah. Oh, what a novel idea. Let's pray right now. Why wouldn't we do that? So prayerlessness is, especially among the leadership, the church will only grow as far as my prayer life as senior pastor. If Marcel and I and the rest of the staff, if we aren't praying, because I know what you're saying, I hope you guys are praying. Yeah, keep hoping that, keep desiring that, because that's how it should be, that we set the stage a little bit by example. And if we are people of prayer, then maybe the whole church could become people of prayer. And we grow in that. So it's wonderful. So the second reason for prayer is because God commands it in Scripture. It's biblical. That's what we know. It's biblical. That's actually reason number one still. Reason number two, because this is God's appointed way for Christians to obtain the blessings he wants to give us. That's how I'm thinking that his nature is, that he's waiting to give us blessings. We don't always ask for them where we should. We're blessed because we have prayed and sought the Lord. So James chapter 4 and verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. And oh, the joy of asking as we pray and ask largely, that our joy would be full. And it's no, We don't ask. I've said this to hundreds and hundreds of people. Have you prayed about it? And they didn't pray about it. I said, we need to pray about it. Let's first of all pray about this need and see where we'll go from there. Have you prayed about it? We obtain blessings by asking. The blessings don't come when you just sit there watching TV. Right? If I'm sitting and say, well, I guess I'm just waiting for God's blessings. No, they come when you shut the TV off and then you pray. Right? And at whatever's on your heart, whether it's early morning or late at night, it doesn't matter that much, but that you're praying. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, here's what Jesus said we should ask for. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, doesn't he know it? He wants us to ask. So we ask, Lord, I thank you for the bills that have to be paid. Lord, I just ask you that this will come and that'll happen. Lord, may you just watch over me. May I be blessed in my going out and my coming in. Or, you know, those kind of things are very precious. But this day, our daily bread, whatever, how much ever bread you need and I need, it maybe differ a little bit, but it's daily, and we ask. We ask for him to put his hand upon us. And we pray for things. And Lord, keep me well. Keep me healthy. Keep me strong in my inner man. Right? These are things that you can find. But as you pray, they will start happening. Amazing, even as Vicki testified to that. And the more she prayed, the more things seemed to come up to her and upon her. Things that she wasn't expecting. And again, that's the nature of prayer. You have not because you ask not. And so we ask the Lord for the daily bread. Lord, you know I need a job, so I ask you to give me employment. Your child, your child, grant to me a job so that I can have daily bread, so that I can have bread to give out and an abundance of it. And so there we are praying for these very, very things. Never be asking that you've asked too much. As I preached a couple of Sundays ago, heaven is not going broke. There's no economic crisis in heaven. You can be absolutely sure of that. And there's a God who wants to bless his children. And so go ahead, ask that. Ask that, what you have, what you need of. Do you need a new car? Maybe you should pray about that. Maybe God wants to do something that we don't see. You say, well, I don't know how that would ever work out. Or you're looking for this, or you're searching for that, but then when you see God answer it, you say, what a wonderful thing that is, and it's because we prayed. And same with the church. The church, we will only go as far as, first of all, as we can see, but if we say, but God will bless us if we seek him, and so we begin to pray, and that's, of course, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Number three, because prayer is God's way for Christians to have fullness of joy. John 16:24. That's so good. So I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. Not until now, you have asked nothing in my name. So ask, and you will receive, and that your joy will be full. Joy comes from answered prayers. You say, oh, Lord, thank you. Never thought that would work out. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, God. It's great to know you. And your joy is because the Lord is working and drawing near and blessing. And there's so much that our joy may be full. John 16:24. I just stuck it in there, but Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, doesn't it? It sure does. And adds no sorrow with it. It just, the blessings just keep on. As we pray, if somebody says, your life seems really blessed, I know what it is. It's because you've been praying. And somebody just saw that, and they were drawn to you because of your prayer life. That's how it happens. It's just the blessings come, but they don't come because you're sitting. They come because you've asked. And the Lord somehow can't help himself. I don't know if this is actually true. It might be heresy that I'm preaching now. But he can't help himself. He just, when he sees his youngest child or the teenager in that church, or that young couple that are struggling, when they kneel down by their coffee table and they say, Lord, please help us. Please help us. Lord, don't let us go under. Don't let. And what happens? He comes. He can't help himself. I see it that way. He just, because the faintest cry, that touches him. He wants to have this relationship with us, right, where things like this are happening. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord and we just cry out to him, he comes and comforts us and assures us that all will be well and that we must continue on and not be weary in well-doing, but to continue to pray and trusting him and watching what he will do. Number four, because prayer is the way out of all trouble. All of God's children got trouble. If it's not today, tomorrow. Troubles financially, troubles. By the way, Vicki, I'll just have this dialogue with you here this morning. Lori Barton. How many know Lori Barton? Not too many. She phoned, and my heart was touched by that. Well, maybe before this morning's over here, we'll even pray for her. You remember her finger, everything is gone. She's on her last leg, she said. And she just wanted to keep in touch. She said, I'm in constant pain. I'm in agonizing pain. But she said, I'm looking forward to Jesus, and I'm looking forward to being with him and having my life with him. And she said, I don't know, I've got a few months, I don't know, or short, I'm not sure how long I have, but just wanted to phone you to tell you. I thought, you know, that's something to pray about. You know how she came here? She came here because Shannon gave her a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and she got saved here because of that. I'd forgotten that. I knew it, and then I forgot it. But my point is, we won't just talk about it. Before this, don't let me forget that we'll pray about this. No sense talking. It's praying. I'm just trying to say something. This is what we do best. We don't know how to fix this or how to do that, and that's God's sovereign moving in her life and the timing, you know. But we can pray. And I'd like to think that she knew that when we were gathering that we remembered her. And anyway, so I share that, and we will pray. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. Catch your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. I'll read that again. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 8. Fret not because of evildoers, for they soon will fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still, wait patiently, and fret not. I love that little section in there. There's fret not, trust the Lord. It keeps encouraging us to do that. And delight yourself in abundant shalom, in abundant peace, abundant shalom. Now, there's four reasons why we pray. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when it's said about you or about me, there is a man of God. There's a man who knows how to pray. If you are known in this church, not in a self-righteous way, not in an arrogant way, anything but if you were known that somebody said that I could go, or you, someone else could go and talk with you, and knowing that you are a person of prayer, that you know how to pray. Greatest skill you'll ever learn. See, I may not be very smart, I may not be able to do this, but I know how to pray. And I know how to connect with heaven. That's great. We say that about different people, some of them aren't here today, some are, where they're just, they pray and the atmosphere changes. Doesn't it? The atmosphere changes in there, and we're hoping they'll pray. In Regina, there was a wonderful lady, and boy, could she ever pray. And I would always want her, because the meeting would be kind of going along like this. And we'd say, Sister So-and-so, why don't we just have you? Why don't you lead us to the throne of grace? And let's pray. And oh, man, my hair is straight back. It's just such, she was so, I said, yeah, bring out the big guns. This is the branch, humble, and you see, you're expecting something impressive, think again. Not very impressive. There was nothing about her that looked that it was impressive. They went there, whoa, yeah, oh, yeah, really strong. This is good. You see this little person, and but when she opened her mouth, dear Lord, oh, the whole meeting cranks up to about five more levels, like that film a little bit. Just knew how to pray. And I want to be known, and you should want to be known that you're a person of prayer. Now, again, we're not talking about bragging and presenting some kind of self-righteousness, but really humble, a humble person, because you have, and you know how you learn to pray? Sorry for the lack of sophistication, by praying. There's just no other way. You can read a book on it, and it's inspiring to read a book, but it really is just by praying. And you learn, and you listen to the people that do pray, how they pray. You just kind of watch what they say. And so you learn, right? I mean, I remember when I first risked praying, I think I had the Holy Spirit on the cross, and I had something, I wasn't that versed in it. Lord, we thank, and I said, oh, I could, crazy prayer was that. But I was nervous. And I remember the very first time that I was in a church in Winnipeg under Brother Ed Bradley's ministry. I knew that it was going to come, that it would be my turn. But I put it off as long as I could in my mind, because it made me ill thinking about it. That he would, because I, you know, you catch on. Okay, so in the beginning of the service, somebody will say, Brother so-and-so, would you lead us to the throne of grace this morning as we begin our meeting? And dear Lord, I said, oh yeah, that's right, you said, dear Lord. Thank you for this. Oh yeah, thank you. I said, yes, dear Lord, thank you, Lord. And I kind of noticed that's how it was. And then at the end of the service, right, somebody would say, and now as we dismiss, Sister Katie, why don't you lead us in prayer? And Sister Katie, oh man, yeah, that's great. And you notice what they said. That's all you know, right? But that's what you noticed. And then, so the weeks went on and the months went on, and I was just happy just being there. I didn't need to, but I knew it. And there was that, I just about collapsed. Because as the senior pastor, as he said, Brother Owen, God bless you. So good to be part of the young adults. Come here, we want you to pray. Here, now, would you dismiss the meeting with prayer? And everybody's head dropped. And, first, okay, I don't need to pass out. I was so nervous about praying publicly. But I made it through. And because I had studied already, I had already ready. I got a prayer ready, so that I would be able to pray it and not wreck the meeting. Which is right. I thought I might wreck the meeting at any rate. And I was off and running. I mean, that was my first public prayer that I actually prayed and heard. Everybody was saying amen. And when I went on, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, it's a great morning. I'm a wreck. And isn't it, hey, by the way, you're sitting on the seat here wondering who I'm going to ask this morning to lead us in prayer. No, I'll let you off the hook. But it's a wonderful thing. The more you learn to pray, it will become so valuable. Oh, so valuable. Wherever you are, you'll be at a gathering. And somebody say, Brother Simon, why don't you pray? Somebody else, but they'll ask for prayer. You go to a hospital, you say, well, we're going to pray before we go. And somebody prays over there. It's wonderful. Don't worry about the pastor being there. We've got five prayer people that can pray effectively. Because they learned. They learned to not to be afraid to ask God for his blessings. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, that brings us to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, where we bring the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. And I want to talk about this sacrifice of our praise. Now, I don't know how it works entirely, but I know that when you you're praying over something and you can't seem to go any further. I mean, you're praying, but it's kind of, you're laboring. One of the secrets is found here in this Hebrews 13, verse 15, where the Spirit, you can release the Spirit by, first of all, you're saying, here's how your prayer is. Lord, I thank you for, I'm kind of losing it here. I'm not even staying on focus. And then I find it very, very helpful that I need to offer the sacrifice of praise. So I lift up my voice or my hands, and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you. Bless you. Oh, Lord, I honor you. I exalt you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And something begins to happen, something very wonderful and very powerful. Now I'm not stung. I'm not conscious of what's happening in one way, but on the other hand, I can tell that something is happening. And it only happens, it moves to another level, and it's part of the prayer thing. That as we say, so if the meeting here, many times, there's many years we've had a chance to observe this, but many times you can tell the meeting has lagged a little, for whatever reason, tiredness or whatever. And really what we should do, we don't most of the time, but really what we should do is just to say, let's just take a moment here, and let's just begin to bless the Lord. Let's lift his name. And why? Because the meeting is kind of, and we're just trying to kind of bring it up back a little bit. And some atmospheres are hard to preach in because the atmosphere was not ready. It's not right. And so we just begin to pray. I'm talking about praying alone. But in a group setting, it's very, very powerful as well that we just say, let's bless his name. And as we do that, there's a joy comes down. Something ascends. It all of a sudden, we brought the sacrifice of praise. In other words, we didn't feel like it. Most people just wait until they feel something. Well, you won't feel something. You don't feel anything. And so what you have to do in order to pray through, and that's what the older saints understood this very well, that in order to pray through, you have to create a new atmosphere. It's a prayer atmosphere, something that the Holy Spirit is, but it only happens when you begin to bless his name. So you just begin to pray. If you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Whatever way, but just if you're getting in your car and you feel kind of defeated, you begin to praise the Lord. Say, aren't I a hypocrite? Oh, not so much, only to your emotions. But you're not a hypocrite to truth. And so you begin to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for working in my life. What are we doing? I'm offering the sacrifice of praise so I can crank it up to another level. And it does every time without exception. Never, ever, ever does it not happen that way because it's a principle. It's a spiritual principle. And that makes or breaks meetings and prayer meetings if we find that it's lagging. So we just begin to lift up the name of the Lord, and it's very powerful. But I think it comes from prayer to the release of the Spirit, where my inner man is released and your inner person is released. And we cherish it. And it's just something we can do. And by the way, sometimes the situation is a bit lethargic, but sometimes it's just me that I'm tired or I'm, whatever it is, I'm cast down or I'm a bit discouraged or maybe, just things, I'm just not feeling particularly spiritual. But that's the time when you offer, this is the kind of prayer that you offer. It's the sacrifice of praise. And I can tell now of almost like of my adult years, I'm not sure who even taught me this, but I know that I can touch heaven when that happens. You pray through, And you, for a while, it's nothing. You're just saying, you kind of feel stupid. In fact, here you are praying. I remember, how many know Brother Lloyd Schutz? Just a few of you know him. He stayed with us one time. Again, another brother who I appreciate him praying. Oh, man. It's just so refreshing. But he was upstairs. He went and said, well, I think I'm just going to check in. I'm just going to sleep tonight. I said, oh, it's fine. Just your room's up there. So up he went. So half an hour later, he would just be so embarrassed if he was in this meeting today. But that's okay. He's not here. And Val went upstairs to get something. And we hear this. We can't think what it is. What is it? What is that noise? It's him. And so we snuck up the stairs, up the little, and we, yeah, it's him. What's he doing? He's praying. He's praying in the Spirit. And he's touch, you can tell, he's hit the jackpot. And he's praying for the meeting. And he's praying for for people to be blessed. And it was incredible. And I thought, he understood it. He wasn't just, and now I pray for this and that. He's already past that. He's already believing God will look after that. He's now in another realm of the Spirit. And I knew that, and it's nowhere that you can go there and I can go there too. But I am sure when he started off in that little prayer time as he was going to go before he went to bed, but then he was in the Spirit. And it was a wonderful thing for us to. It was just great. I won't ever forget that because of the sincerity of his heart. He wasn't praying for us to hear it. He was talking to the Lord. He's a prayer warrior. That's what happens. Years and years and years of praying. And pretty soon, anybody who wants it, let's get Brother Schutz to pray for us. I know somebody, I was in a meeting one time when he was there, and this person went right around the whole room to get to, so that he would end up putting hands on them, because he thought that's what had to happen. But it doesn't. It's all very simple things, what I'm saying here, but they're powerful, and if you can learn it, if I can learn it, which I think all of us can, is that you just let God fill you, and then, begin to pray. Doesn't even have to be in tongues, of course. It can just be you just lifting up the name of the Lord. But watch what will happen. It will go from laborious prayer to some good things and some excellent things. To kind of the assurance that it's okay now. It's okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your name. This isn't some old Pentecostal I'm talking about here. We're talking about godly men and women who understand this realm of praying in the Spirit, the sacrifice of praise, not feeling like it at all, not seeing anything, but just believing that God is a great God and a mighty God and a powerful God. And once we begin to minister to him and bless his name, heaven comes down and glory fills our soul. And how often does it happen? It'll happen every time. If you pay the price of just pressing in a little further, keep on praying, but now begin to press in until you kind of sense, yes, glory, that's it. I'm not depressed now. I'm feeling good. I'm encouraged right now. And this wonderful avenue that we have to enter in and to bless the Lord. Be still, wait patiently, delight yourself. Yes. We will. We will. Now, you'll have a chance. As a matter of fact, let's pray right now. How many here know Lori? Yeah. Then, Vicki, without making you the star of the morning here, we're going to get you to pray. So let's all stand. To be honest, I don't know how to pray for her. She's so ready to go to heaven. She is so ready to go to heaven.
I just wanted to say, you don't know how to pray for her. My sister had this disease, and it's, I know you
Yeah. Yes. There it is.
Owen asked us, Pastor Owen asked us, and we need just to take 30 seconds and just lift up our voices to praise the Lord
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Glory
praise
to God.
You, Father.
Glory
we glorify your name.
Hallelujah.
We come before
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. This
Jesus.
Is your house, Father God. This is what you're doing,
God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Father God. We come Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise
bless
you, Holy
your
One.
Name.
Praise
bless
you, Holy One.
Name.
Praise you, Holy One.
Oh,
yes,
bless
Lord.
Your name. Bless your name.
Father Glory God, we God. Come before you this morning. This church comes before you, Father God, because we have been petitioned, Father God, and we come to you now. And we just come and we love Lori because you have loved her. And she has reached out to this church, Father God. And as Anya said, this is a disease of great pain. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask, Father God, that you would soothe her.
Yes.
You would bring the balm of Gilead.
Yes.
You would allow, Father God, whatever
God.
It is that she requires to reduce this pain level, Father God. And we know behind the pain, Father God, is fear because we don't know what's going on. Yeah. Lord, she is anxious to come and be met by you, to go to the celestial city, to come, Father God, and be part of glory. And so, Lord Jesus, in the remaining days or months, however much time Lori has, we ask, Father God, that you will touch her. And we ask, Father God, that Lori will be used, Father God, that even now as we lift her up, Father God, and even this week, Lord, as she comes to mind, bring her to mind to every one of us. So hour by hour, we will come before you, and we will lift her, and we praise you, and we give you glory in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me just pray for you this morning. I know that every one of us here would like to be able to pray and pray in a way that blesses people. I know that, so let's just humbly come before the Lord and ask him to touch us, and that we would become the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer. Show us, Lord, how to pray fervently. Show us how to pray effectively. Show us, Lord, how to zero in right on the button. Show us how to enter into the things of the Spirit. Lord, teach us your ways. And Lord, even as your disciples, the only request I think they ever made was teach us to pray. Lord, we're asking this on our last morning of our prayer emphasis. We're asking you to teach us to pray. And we pray that you would warm the temperature, the Holy Spirit's temperature in this place, that in the weeks ahead and the months ahead, Lord, the year ahead, that we would say, oh, we've progressed. We've made headway. And it was because of the Lord. And so, Father, here we are. I just pray that you would touch every person in this building today. We thank you. We bless you. You're such a great God. And, Lord, I thank you for all the prayers that you have answered over the years in my life. So many prayers. And it's filled me with joy. And so, Lord, I thank you for all the prayers that you've answered here in this congregation. We've prayed hundreds of times, perhaps thousands of times, and we have seen you arise, God, and you met us, and you provided. There's been jobs provided and health provided, and all kinds of things have come. And Lord, we knew it was the Lord that needs had been met because of Christ. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We love you. We praise you. You're such a good God. And Lord, we thank you that it's not about a ritual, it's about a relationship. It's just knowing you and talking to you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us tonight or tomorrow morning, whenever it is, we meet with the Lord. Father, I pray that there'll be some precious moments, the preciousness of tears, of praise, of joy. And Lord, just seeing what you, how you, your hand is moved when we pray to you. And we love that, Lord. We thank you for being so available to us. Imagine, oh, Lord, we're just amazed that the God of the universe would take time and listen to me. Oh, it's beyond, it's wonderful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. It's great to have you here this morning. I see some people I don't know, so I take it you're new. We invite you to come to the patio, and the coffee is on, the fellowship is warm, coffee's hot, should be good. Please join us.